Welcome to episode 527 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. My name is George, and this week I am joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Sandy and Donna. We all remember the devastating news from August 2023 of the fires in Maui. This week, we're welcoming Stacy back to the show because she just got back from Maui, and we want to know how things have recovered and if it's open for business. So let's get started.
Hi, thank you.
Yay.
Happy to be here.
Woo!
And I'm happy to talk about Maui because it quickly became, I think, there were four of us traveling, and I think it quickly became like one of our like all-time favorites right away. So,
really? I'm interested because I've never been to Hawaii and honestly haven't, other than Pearl Harbor, I really haven't thought much about a trip there.
Yeah.
I guess maybe it's just so far.
It,
from being
that
up
it
here
is,
in the
George,
East Coast.
Yeah, I did fly from the East Coast. So yeah, it's not for the faint of heart, I guess, but we did fly from the East Coast. We flew to Seattle and then from Seattle to Maui. And both of those flights together, flight time was probably about 9.5 hours. So it's quite a long trip.
Cool. So I see the first thing in our topics is the road to, is it Hana?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the road to Hana. I'll back up just for a moment, though, because you mentioned the fires and the recovery. I just will say that, you know, we did the day before we went to the road to Hana, we ended up on the road on the other side of the island, actually. And it led us to Lahaina, where the fires were, mm-hmm. and they still have most of the roads closed. You know, we could drive on the main road, but you couldn't drive like closer to the beach. Still had the roads closed. They're only letting like residents in, but there was this. The town itself is recovering, as far as you know. Public spaces are opening, but we could see the devastation still cleaned up, and you could see where houses and buildings used to stand. But we did see some rebuilding, so I think you know they are in the process of recovering. But to keep in mind that is only one small area of Maui, one town. We were there 6 nights and every day exploring so much of the island, just so much more to see than just that area. In fact, our road, when we did the road to Hana, we actually hired a guide to take us. It was one of those things.
Yeah. Because everybody wants to see. You don't want to be the one driving.
Yeah. And that's exactly what led us to doing that, because we did have a car. We had planned to drive it ourselves, and we had done research like where to stop. But then after talking to a few other friends who had recently been to Maui and they had done the road to Hana, they had guides and they were like, I would just get a guide. It's just easier because they know the roads, they know the places to stop. If there's traffic or any kind of issues, you know, you have somebody with you. If your rental car breaks down on the road to Hana, like no one's coming for you that quickly. It's you know, some areas are one lane. So, and then just the fact that we wanted everyone to have the opportunity to see all the scenery and everything. So yeah, I think we made a good decision. But our guide did tell us that as far as recovery goes, that tourism in Maui is still down, not nearly where it was before the fires. And they are just, you know, asked, you know, please encourage people to come. You know, the fires only affected a small corner of the island, but the rest of the island is open for business, and they really want visitors to come. So Road to Hana, what is it? It is a very scenic drive. I'm trying to think like what to equate it to. I guess in our part of the country, here in North Carolina, it might be equated to like taking a drive on the Blue Ridge Parkway. But it, you know, Blue Ridge Parkway is a national park. This is just the road that locals use also. But Hana is on the far end of Maui. And to take a drive out there, you just pass a lot of beautiful scenery and different places you can stop and pull over if there's parking and see interesting things. So on our road to Hana, we started out early in the morning. I think I mentioned on the last episode that when you, I feel like in Hawaii, they start things early there. And somebody says because they kind of try to keep up with like the West Coast of the U.S., like, so they kind of just start early. So we got up like at 6 a.m. to meet our guide. He picked us up and he stopped, let us get coffee and pick up a little breakfast. And then we hit the road. For us, we stopped and go ahead and tell y'all about some of the stops. But if you want to know a little bit more about anything, let me know. We stopped at a place first called Twin Falls, and this Twin Falls, you can hike to a waterfall. It's a little further away, or if you don't want to walk too much, and we were not really in the hiking mood, you could hike to a Twin Falls, which was like maybe 0.1 miles. I mean, it wasn't far at all. But so just some beautiful waterfalls if you want to experience that. We also got to see the rainbow eucalyptus. And I don't know if y'all are familiar with what they are, why they're called rainbow eucalyptus. But the trunks of these trees, eucalyptus trees will like shed. And these particular ones, when they shed, they're kind of a green underneath. So you kind of get these brown and these green. But then we're told that once the green part starts to oxidize, it turns like red. So it gives you kind of an appearance of a rainbow on the trunk of the tree. It's pretty cool. So we got to stop and take some pictures. So that was fun. And then our driver was like, oh, you know, who wants to go into a lava tube? And of course, you know, like, yeah, of course we want to do that. So we pull into this little, pull off and cross the street. He's like, well, there's an entrance to a lava tube right across here. And you really couldn't see it. If you didn't know what you were looking for, you wouldn't see it. So he took us across. We went in. We used our phones for flashlights, and you kind of had to duck down, and then you're walking through it. So it looks kind of like if you're just in a cave. But the funny thing is, like, a minute later, after we're in it, this other couple come in behind us, and they were like, hey, and they're like, we didn't even know this was here until we saw y'all walk in. He goes, what is this? And our guy's like, oh, it's a lava tube. So they said they were not with a guide, so they didn't know. So anyway, we walked through the lava tube, and so that was really cool. Then came out of the lava tube, got back on the road, of course, beautiful scenery. And then one of the big things on Road to Hana is the banana bread. So I don't know if anyone's ever mentioned it to you. If you do any research, you'll find out, you know, you got to stop at this one place for their banana bread. Sell it all day long.
Cool.
We got there. My driver's like, okay, get out. You know, y'all quick, get out, get in line. I see there's only like 3 people in line. So we run, we get in line, and we get up to the front, and they're like, okay, well, you know, they were making the bread fresh. And so they're like, we need about a 10-minute wait. And we're like, okay. So we order ours. We're standing around waiting. The line, no lie, like got to be like 25 people deep. So wow. We were like, man, we hit it just right. But of course, because they're making it fresh all day, you get in, it's still warm, and it's amazing. And my friend who doesn't even like bananas, he even liked it. So I think that's saying a lot. And then he drove us to just like this little point where we could look out over the water. And he's like, spend as much time as you want. Enjoy your, enjoy your bread. And so we had the famous Road to Hana banana bread, and it lived up to its hype.
That kind of makes me want some banana bread right now.
I always want some banana bread.
It is really good. But then, I know it's going to sound like we stopped and just ate the whole time. We did drive in between, but like our next big stop was lunch. And so we pull over. And no lie, I would say this was one of my most memorable meals. And maybe it was because the location. But it's just like this roadside stand. We pull up, and my friend who did a lot of the research for this trip was like, we have to eat the huli huli chicken. We have to eat the huli huli chicken. Like, I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm sure we'll get some while we're there. So pull up, and of course, that's their big thing, was their huli huli chicken. And so basically, huli huli chicken is like a grilled, maybe kind of almost it reminded me a little bit of like jerk chicken from Jamaica, the the grilled, just with some spices on it. They served it, they eat a lot of plate lunches evidently in Hawaii. So you got your chicken, and it came with a little salad, and then it came with macaroni salad. A lot of the plate lunches there are always served with macaroni salad. Okay. But no lie, they served each of us like half a chicken.
So it was enough for three people.
Yeah, it really was, but we didn't know that. And maybe our guide should have warned us, or maybe he just looked like, to him, maybe just looked like we could eat a lot. We each ordered an order. So, but man, it was so good. That chicken was tender and like smoky. But yeah, it was amazing. I wish I could have eaten all of it.
There's a lot of recipes online for that. I may have to throw some in the smoker this weekend.
Oh. George, if you do, let me know. I want to see how it comes out. It was very delicious. Another thing we did after lunch was we went to the famous Black Pebble Beach. The Black Pebble Beach is at a state park, and I would mention the name, except I was telling these guys, I was telling Donna, I could not pronounce anything in Hawaii.
Is it the Waiana Panapana?
Yes, that's okay. Yes.
Waiana
like Napa.
Yeah. I mean, they tell you when you do these trainings that you're supposed to pronounce every letter, but yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot of vowels, and there's evidently only like 13 letters in the Hawaiian alphabet. Okay. So you get a lot of vowels. But that was pretty amazing in itself. Now, had we not had a tour guide, you'd have to go and make a reservation. Now, the guide had a reservation for us, but he was, did let us know that we had a lot of flexibility in the day. We could stay places as long as we wanted, but he did tell us, our reservation is between 12:30 and 3. We want to make sure you have enough time there. Mm-hmm. We might want to, depending on how long you'll want to stay. So we did get there, and we went down to the beach, and I have never seen anything like it. I mean, that volcanic rock, it kind of reminded me of river stones, some of them, but not like sand. It was pebbles and rocks, but beautiful. And the water was a little rough, but got out in the water some, and it was amazing. There is a blowhole like that you could hike to. My husband and the other fella that was with us tried to hike to it, but they said they ended up, it was a little too far farther than they wanted to go. So they came on back, and then we ended up leaving the park. But if you're doing it on your own, and I highly recommend you stop there, but you just want to make sure you go online and make that reservation. I think you can make them like 30 days before.
So that was So the time wasn't just show up between that time. That was like the time you were allowed to be there.
Yeah.
And you had to leave by three or whatever.
Yeah. They want, and yeah. Now, okay, nobody gave you a band and they weren't checking to make sure you left. Right. But definitely when you came in, there was a booth and, you know, that was for reservation only. So when we left there, we started driving again, and of course, we ate again. We stopped at our tour guide was like, you know, there's this place we can stop if you want. We don't have to, but if anyone wants a treat, he goes, they make this really great ice cream. He goes, but it's it's made out of coconut milk. It's not dairy milk. And we're like, okay, you know, yeah, that sounds interesting. And at first, we were kind of like, I don't know, we're kind of full, but you know, then we were all like, you know what, we're only here once, you know, we might as well try it. Sounds amazing. So we did
split it.
What's that?
You get one and split it because the chicken is so much.
Well, Donna, you think we would have learned, but no, we all had to get our own flavors because I think like they let you get like two flavors, kind of like gelato, you know, they're like get any two flavors. But we did order smalls. It was delicious, but the guide was so funny. He was like, he goes, really, it's just vegan ice cream. He goes, but I never like to explain it to people as vegan ice cream because then they're like, no, we don't want that.
Why would anyone want that?
I know. Yeah. He was like, most people are like, yeah, no, we're no. And so he goes, so I always just tell them like, well, you know, it's coconut milk.
That's funny because I was thinking this that would be perfect for people who have like dairy issues.
Oh, you know? Well, and it is perfect. Yeah. And I will say it was delicious. It was creamy. Mm-hmm. You know, if you hadn't told me, I mean, maybe it's not as thick as like a dairy ice cream, but it was delicious. So I said, well, I'm glad you explained it to us that way. Because mm-hmm. honestly, if my husband had heard you say like vegan ice cream, he would have been like, no. And he ate it and he liked it. So
there you go.
Glad we did that. Yeah.
Nice.
So by about that time, though, we were, of course, had made it to Hana. We were heading back. One of the things we really wanted to do was to get into a pool, you know, waterfall pool. And so our guide was like, you know, well, I know a place and it's, you know, right off the road. He goes, you know, you can swim at these others if you want. He goes, but you said you didn't really want to hike to one. He goes, but there's one like right by the road. As we're coming back, I can stop. So we did. It was beautiful. It wasn't a huge, tall one, but it was quite tall, just not mm-hmm. huge, huge. So we got in. That water was so cold. Oh, my God. So I just, like, I stood there, and I was just like, do it. Just do it. Just do it. So I jumped in and, you know, the shock of it. But then once you were in, actually, for a little bit, you get used to it. And so, you know, fulfilled my dream of swimming in a waterfall pool in Hawaii.
There you go.
Yeah. So then it was starting.
You got the frostbite to cover it.
I did. Yes. Sure did. I have the pictures to prove it. So then the last thing, as we're heading back into town, he let us know that there was one last place we could stop. And I'm sorry, I don't know the name, but it is a public beach and there are a lot of surfers out there, a lot of people. In fact, the parking was pretty tight, people coming for the sunset. But the amazing thing were the turtles. My friend really wanted to see sea turtles and we saw sea turtles a couple of times, but this time we saw them out of the water. So there's this one area at the beach that's protected, but he said like a lot of the turtles we saw are older turtles because, you know, turtles have to come up to breathe. They go back down. They can stay down for quite a while, but he says like some of the elderly turtles, I guess, get lazy and don't want to have to keep waking up to come up and down and breathing. So they do actually come to shore. And so there must have been about 15 turtles out there.
Wow.
Big old turtles. And so it was just funny because we were walking towards them and the beaches in Hawaii, you see a lot of lava rock. And so we're walking towards them. My friend kept going, I don't see them. And her husband kept going, they're right there. She goes, those are rocks. I see, all I see are the rocks. He goes, they're right there. I mean, we were on them almost. Now, there was a rope, like, so that you couldn't get to them to touch them or anything, but she kept going, where are the turtles? So, finally, as soon as she saw, she's like, oh my God, they're right there. We're like, yes. But that was amazing, just to see that many of them, and that they are huge, just laying on the beach and sleeping. So that was fun. Cool. So then he dropped us back at our place, and
is the road like a loop?
Okay, yeah. So the road does loop. Mm-hmm. However, they're a lot of times part. Well, the back side of the road, as they call it, is not all paved. You can do the whole loop, although a lot of the rental car companies ask you not to take your car on the unpaved part. No. But there's also been some road closures, so we weren't able to do the full loop. Okay. And so a lot of people will go and then just come back the same way they came.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I will say, like, a few days after, we were reading that there was actually like a rock slide on the road, and they did have to close it. So, you know, just to be aware if that's something on your list that you really want to do, and I do recommend it, but plan it maybe earlier in your trip, because if there is an accident or a rock slide or something like that, you could end up not being able to go, you know, make the loop or even get to Hana. So just keep that in mind. You don't want to go.
The guide was definitely the way to go with that, too.
I think so. I'm glad we decided to do the guide as well. Yeah. So the other big thing we did in Maui was snorkeling. And we wanted to get at least one day where we're out on the water. So we decided to go to the Malakini crater. And so we booked a snorkel tour. And so it first took us out. We woke up like at 6:30 in the morning, had to drive there. Check-in was like at 7 in the morning. but the boat was really nice. It wasn't overcrowded. I think I counted 26 people on our boat. So, you know, lots of room to move around. They served us like a light breakfast, coffee, sodas. They served us a deli kind of lunch, sandwiches, chips, and macaroni salad. and then we got to snorkel in two different places. The first place they took us was known for turtles. And we saw, I think we saw three turtles as we snorkeled in that spot. One of the reasons we picked this particular tour was they also had one of those huge inflatable slides. So they blew that up, and we were able to take turns going down the slide. So there were a few kids who were enjoying it. This one young sassy girl, she was, you know, going down the slide. But the adults were getting into it, and we all took turns. So a lot of fun. But then they took us over to a Malakini crater. And it's the remains like of a volcano. So, but all you can see is like one little part of the top of the crater. Mm-hmm. You can't go on the island; it's restricted. But it's like a preserve also. So, I guess only certain boats can go out there. And I'm not sure how they decide if you have to have a license or how you get to be one of those boats. But our tour went there. The captain told us that the water was like 300 feet there, but the water was so clear. He said a lot of divers like to come here because it is so deep, nobody's kicking up the sand. So the clarity of the water was amazing. Wow. A lot of fish. I wouldn't say it's the most fish I had ever seen, but there were a lot of fish. We swam close to the crater, and of course the fish were more plentiful along the rocks. But as we were getting ready to leave, we were in the water for just a few more minutes. We saw some rays. So that was probably the highlight of that area.
Like the really big ones?
They weren't huge. The one I saw, well, and of course it was, I couldn't tell how far down it was. It didn't look huge, but say about the size of a, I don't even know. I'm just going to say it was like 8 feet long or something.
Okay, that's pretty so good. Not,
yeah.
Yeah.
So I'd say all in all, that was a great, you know, great trip as well. Like it was definitely worth getting out on the water and not just maybe always being from the beach, you know. So.
Did you do any like luau type stuff?
Yeah, we did. We did do a luau. Two quick things I'll tell you about is the luau we went to was at the it was the Andes Maui at Wailea Resort. Again, we picked it because it was a smaller crowd. We knew some of the luaus can get quite big. This one was maybe 40 people. I mean, it was kind of small, I think. Very lovely hotel resort. Of course, they did all the traditional hula and dancing and singing. Instead of a buffet, the other reason we liked this one, it was plated. So they, you know, brought out the pig that they had roasted. But then when they brought everything, they brought it to your table already plated. So that, to us, just, it made it feel a little more, I don't know what the word is, not luxury, but just, you know, you weren't at a buffet nice trying to do your food and everything. Open bar, which was nice. We had some wonderful Mai Tais again. But that was definitely.
Of course, you partook.
Oh, of course. Maybe one or two or five, but yeah, they were delicious. So I would say that was probably one of the highlights of the trip. But the other I was going to mention, because I know we're kind of running out of time, is that our friends, if you, they are fans of this show, White Lotus. So I don't know if any of you have watched it.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So yeah. Season one was filmed in Maui, and it was filmed at the Four Seasons, which was the White Lotus. And so my friends really wanted to go, and our where we were staying was just a really short Uber ride. So we, even though we had a car, we were being responsible. We Ubered over because we wanted to have drinks in the lobby bar. And so it was fun. I had not seen White Lotus. And so it was fun just listening to them going like, oh, wait, remember the scene? This must be where they filmed that. And
have
so
have you gone and watched it since then?
I did. Yeah. so that was a really fun, you know, night because, you know, we kind of toured around, walked around the pool so they could see where you know, everything was filmed. And then we actually ended up going back there because we wanted to see, we wanted to eat at one of the restaurants there. So we ate at a steak restaurant. It's called Duo. And again, I think they said, the staff was telling us that a lot of the breakfast scenes when they were eating breakfast were filmed in that restaurant.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Nice. Delicious steaks, I will say. It was an amazing meal. So, yeah, I mean, I think you'll ask me, you know, was 5 nights enough in Oahu? And I said no. And this time we spent six nights in Maui, and it wasn't enough. I would definitely have wished.
Did you do Haleakala?
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
The mountain we went up. Yeah. It was a crazy drive. Again, it's one of those like twisty, turny. You know, no guardrails, looking down a cliff.
Oh God!
And then with bicycles, there were cyclists up there.
Were you driving, or did you have a guide for that?
No, we were driving, not me. But we drove ourselves up there. It was a rainy day; it was cloudy and foggy, so we really didn't get to see the effects of seeing the crater up there or anything. We did see the observatories that are up there. But unfortunately, all we got to see were like the visitor center.
I had friends that tried to do it for like the sunrise, and they had your experience. It was rainy and cloudy when they got there, and they had gotten up so early.
You have to get up like at 3 in the morning to get up there. And then actually our guide to when we went to Hana, he was saying, you know, sunrise is beautiful up there. He goes, but you can also go for sunset. It's also beautiful. He goes, but you want to leave like, be getting there like at 3 o'clock just because of the parking, you know, a lot of people up there. So we kind of just went in the middle of the day because we kind of wanted to avoid the crowd. So we actually came back down the mountain and then went to a distillery and had some drinks, of course, Mai Tais, and some more. We had poke nachos.
Yeah, since it's your new favorite food.
It is. They're so good.
Nice.
They're so good.
So, next time we go to Disney together, Yak and Yeti and Animal Kingdom, really good poke nachos.
I'll have to try them. Good. I know. Now I'm going to be searching them out everywhere. Really good.
I recommend. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. So, well, you got anything else, Stacey?
Highly recommend it. I was telling people that I had really kind of high expectations, and I was hoping I wouldn't be disappointed, but I think the whole trip, Maui, Hawaii, exceeded my expectations.
Great. All right. Well, that's our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. We'd love to hear from you. Once again, I want to thank Stacey for stopping by to tell us about her Hawaii experience.
Thank you.
Woo! And on behalf of Donna, Sandy, and myself, George, thanks for joining us this week. Gotta fly.